tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tip Today. Now, after another night of unrest in the north, the White House now has back calls for calm in the north following a joint plea from the Taoiseach and from the British Prime Minister. John Cushnahan is a former politician in both Northern Ireland and the Republic and has a very unique view on this. He also served as leader of the Alliance Party in the north as a member then of the European Parliament for Fine Gael. He joins me on the line now. John, good morning.
Good morning, Alison.
Now, John, Sinn Féin and the DUP, of course, very, very strong at blaming each other for the unrest. What's your read of the current situation?
Well, the backcloth to it is that the Good Friday Agreement, despite being 23 years old, has failed to deliver its primary objective in reconciliation. Although it has delivered a power-sharing executive, this executive is driven by division, dominated by the political extremes of Sinn Féin and the DUP, who are always rowing with one another, and that marginalises the political centre in Northern Ireland. In recent events add to this, obviously Brexit has caused major problems. The establishment of an Irish sea border under the Northern Ireland Protocol was obviously the right thing to do to try and ensure that Northern Ireland stayed both within the single market and also had access to the United Kingdom market, which was a huge bonus. But unfortunately, for some reason, it struck a huge psychological discord with the unionist community, who feared that they were being separated from the UK mainland. And when you add to this the fallout from the Bobby Storey funeral, which was a very irresponsible event by Sinn Féin, bringing together over 2,000 people, which they organised. They used buses to bus them in. They emailed all their members to get them there. And this was happening at the same time that people were only allowed to have 10 or 25 people at their funeral. And the anger that was not just on the part of unionism, it was on the part of many modern nationalists in Northern Ireland who were denied the dignity of burying their own family members. But the recent decision by the DPP, not the PSNI, not to prosecute leading Sinn Féin members was because they didn't, not because they didn't think that they had broken regulations, they didn't think that they could secure convictions. And it's been absolutely wrong for unionism to attack the chief constable of the PSNI. And another element in the current situation was the opportunity taken by loyalist paramilitaries who wanted to use the situation as cover for their criminal activities. One of the worst developments was not only the intemperate language used by both sides, but particularly on the part of the DUP, but all the main unionist democratic parties got into bed with loyalist paramilitaries, and that's a very bad omen for the future. And of course, against all these incidents coming together, the perfect storm, so to speak, young people who don't even remember the Troubles were manipulated, particularly by loyalist paramilitaries. And there, in my view, there wasn't sufficient action on the part of all politicians to initially nip this in the bud.
And how much responsibility should Arlene Foster bear for this, given her very inflammatory tweet this week?
Oh, she bears certainly a huge amount of responsibility. She's the First Minister, and her language has been totally unacceptable, as well as has been some of her colleagues. But at the same time, if there hadn't have been that irresponsible funeral leading to the fallout, we wouldn't have had the thing totally getting out of control. But she's the First Minister. We expect more from her. And I think if democratic parties had have attempted to resolve this by democratic political means and keep well away from paramilitary organisations, and this I'm directly referring to unionism, then maybe this violence would not have happened.
And how can this be quelled now, or has it gone too far?
Well, I mean, it's although it reminds us of the worst of the Troubles, it's not anywhere near the terrible things that happened in the Troubles. So the possibility exists, certainly, to stop it going any further. I note that some loyalists are already planning to have parades at the weekend, yeah, which do not have the approval of the parades commission, so that's not going to help. But against this irresponsible activity, the onus falls, and the onus was always on democratically elected politicians to try and resolve the underlying elements of this problem. And we must recognise that there has been at least a motion passed unanimously by the Northern Ireland Assembly condemning and calling for cessation of this. All parties in the executive have also called for it. We have the British and Irish governments and now the United States governments and also the EU calling for all young people to desist from getting involved in this activity. And if that was to happen also, it might enable the police to tackle head on the loyalist manipulators of loyalism, because, of course, what has come into the whole equation in the last couple of days, I suspect, organised by dissident Republicans, is now the violence has not only been in loyalist areas, but it's spread to nationalist areas. Yeah. And you saw evidence of that on television, particularly in what is called a misnomer, the peace line between the Shankill, which is a Protestant loyalist area, and the Springfield Road, which is a Catholic area. So it's important that politicians come together and avoid criticising one another. And most important of all, if unionism would stop its barrage of attacks on the chief constable of the PSNI, once again, and as it happened throughout the Troubles, police in Northern Ireland have been attempting to hold the line, to buy time, hold the line between warring factions, particularly of a paramilitary nature and terrorist nature, to buy time for politicians to sort out the political problems. And I never thought we'd see it happen so soon again, that the current police service in Northern Ireland would be in the middle trying to keep the warring factions apart. And they have not been helped in their duty by the politics being played by unionism in the DUP. The chief constable does not deserve the tax. He was not the one responsible for the non-prosecution of Sinn Féin. It was the director of public prosecutions, not the chief constable. In fact, the PSNI recommended prosecution, but it was the Department of Public Prosecutions decided that they wouldn't be able to secure convictions, and they're an independent body of policing and the political process.
So how would you like to see Michelle O'Neill and Sinn Féin handle this now? Do you think they should come forth and say, look, it was wrong what happened, it shouldn't have happened, and try and calm it down a bit?
Well, yes. I think Arlene Foster should, and also the more moderate Ulster Unionist Party, should withdraw the recalls for the resignation of the Chief Constable. That would help. I think Sinn Féin should properly, and they have not done so, properly apologise for having that massive funeral for Bobby Storey. And let's remember, Bobby Storey, this was not a family funeral. Bobby Storey was a key strategist in the IRA terror campaign, which was responsible for murdering over half of all the victims during the Northern Ireland Troubles. And that was a political rally, given glorification to that particular terror campaign. So I think politicians have to put the past behind them and look to the future. My worry is that these events are happening a year before the next Assembly election. And it is possible that the parties on the two extremes are seeking the opportunity to ramp it up so that will polarise political opinion and that will suit them and marginalise the centre. But I think they have a wider duty, and this is where I think the British and Irish governments and those that have supported the peace process, like the EU and the US, should come in and put pressure on Northern Ireland politicians to cease their squabbling and do what they were supposed to do under the Good Friday Agreement. Try and build reconciliation in Northern Ireland. Give it priority, because we may have won the peace initially, but the battle for reconciliation, in all truth, has never begun. And until we get true reconciliation, there's always a danger that there will be sporadic outbreaks of violence. So the only thing I can say, it is better to jaw-jaw rather than war-war. And those that believe they are democratic politicians representing all the shades of political opinion in Northern Ireland, in tune with the British and Irish governments, have to find a formula not only for bringing the current violence to an end, but making sure that it doesn't happen again. And of course, the first step in that process is to stop using incendiary language and irresponsible comments. Work together, not against one another, and work together for the interests of the people of Northern Ireland.
Now, Sinn Féin in recent months has been trying to push the United Ireland idea and programme. How inflammatory do you think that will be, given the North and the state of politics? There is such a pressure cooker at the moment. Would you fear that this topic could drive it further?
Well, let me first of all say the desire for United Ireland is a legitimate call. The issue is the timing of it. I mean, unionism is already insensitive and vulnerable and insecure, and I think the over-promotion of it by Sinn Féin in recent times further makes the world a much more uncertain place for them. And, I mean, for example, I thought it was very silly for them, and it's fortunate they have large amounts of money to do so, to put advertisements in American newspapers. The people they need to be talking to is democratically elected unionist representatives and ordinary unionist people in Northern Ireland. But let me say one very simple thing. How can you unite Ireland when you can't even unite Northern Ireland? And last week's events demonstrate that quite clearly. If simple events can drive the unionist community into the sort of reactions they're doing now, how does anyone think that we can persuade them at this point in time into a united Ireland? And while I state again, the object of united Ireland is a legitimate one, the timing of a border poll is crucial. And I really don't think we can have a border poll until the power-sharing executive has sustained itself and achieved its objective of creating some widespread measure of reconciliation of Northern Ireland. And then when we enter that phase, and I think it's probably at least a decade away, I'd like to see at least two terms of a stable power-sharing executive instead of one which is always on the verge of collapse, two decades of working together, we can proceed that by a number of explorations. You can't just pose the question that should there be a united Ireland. That has to be there has to be policy set out. And what would that structure be? Would it be a federal structure, a confederal structure? You know, would you have a parliament in Dublin? Would you have a parliament in Belfast? And also how it's going to be financed, because taxpayers of the Republic would be required to pay somewhere in the region of about $11 billion annually to replace the British subvention. And of course, remember the pressure we're going to be under meeting financial commitments after the end of this pandemic. So I think that it is not wise to push that objective at this particular point in time. There has to be a very sustained period of peace and reconciliation. And the bottom line is, let's work the institutions we have. Let's ensure that the Good Friday Agreement is fully implemented, and then we'll be in a better position to discuss the political future of both parts of this island. But I don't think the current period is proven, not just by events over the last week, but by the wide gulf between the likes of Sinn Féin and the DUP. Now is not the time to put this as a central issue on the political agenda. We have more basic, fundamental things to achieve.
Okay, John, I'll have to leave it there for this morning. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for taking the time for us this morning.
Thank you, Alison.
Thank you, John. That's John Cushnahan there, former politician in both the North and the Republic.